Well, good morning. We are, it seems empty in here, doesn't it? So I think everybody should come forward. Oh, let me first ask you this question. How many of you are reasonable people? Reasonable? Okay. Like if I was had an armful of groceries and headed toward the elevator, you would open the door, you would put your hand to open the door. You're reasonable? Okay. So for all reasonable people, I'm going to ask you to move into the first six rows of the church here, and let's move forward. Even Bob. Bob, you're, the back row is there. So come forward. Let's press together and do that. Yeah. Right on. So I want to welcome you. Welcome to our guests from camp meeting. And those, we have a number of folks that are at camp meeting, and there are no services there. But there are services here, so we have just folks from camp meeting that are just bleeding over to McKinleyville Church to come and have service here. So thank you for joining us. There's lunch afterwards, and also remember snack packs for the homeless. If you want to grab some snack packs on the way out, you can hand those. Those are prepared to hand those off to anybody that you wish. Also, any other announcements? I mean, there will be, for next Sabbath, there will be, we should have probably done it in the fellowship hall this week, but there will be a small service in the fellowship hall next week for Sabbath school starting at 10, and then church service starting at 10:15. Any other announcements? Anything else we need to bring? Summer gets kind of quiet around here. A lot of comings and goings. Also remember, if you have a specific prayer request or prayer need, we will be meeting in the prayer room after service today. So that's the Fusion Sabbath School room at 15 minutes after the service when we end. So please join us if you want. All right. Well, we are going to start with a word of prayer, and then we'll move right into our service this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather here this morning. Father, that we are few in number this morning, but there are definitely more than two. And where two or more are gathered, you promised there you would be. We thank you, Father, for that promise. We thank you for the study we've had so far, and just invite your spirit and presence as we enter into service this morning. Just pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. So let us sing.
Let us sing of the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. The spread of love which is abroad and build the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with His word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where I turn my eye. If I survey that round I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by, order from Thy throne. creatures that borrow life from thee, poor subject to thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there.
Our next song will be At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At a cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy on the day. That's why I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. You, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At a cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Brian. And we should all be enthusiastic about the love that our God has given to us, even before we set foot on this planet, before we were born. God loved us. He thought of us and brought us into being, and we can forever be thankful for that. So in that gratitude, we give to our Lord and to our church. And through stewardship, we have a spiritual element. We have a practical element. The spiritual element is that we develop a relationship with God as we return our tithes and offerings. Good stewards will return tithe, the whole tenth of your income, for the world work, and give a liberal offering to support the local church's mission to the community. So in our giving, we're not only spreading our gratitude to the world, but we're also showing it practically here in our community. And I think that's a beautiful thing. We have so many people in our community that are in need. So when we give our offerings to the church, oftentimes it will go into be available for our community efforts at the community services and the lunches that we hand out to the homeless. managing material possessions to His glory is part of the practical element. Property, investments, estate planning, and caring for the environment means truly treasuring them. A good steward will also learn and practice debt-free living. Getting out of debt is essential to be free from financial enslavement. And I think all of us can agree that being free of financial enslavement is a wonderful thing. The Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." And that's from 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given to us. As a church, we are rich. Our bounty is from you, and we give back to you through tithes and offerings out of gratitude and sincere love for Jesus our Lord. I thank you, Father, that we have this place to worship, to come together, to share, and to give. In Jesus' name, amen. The offering will be taken at the back of the church after the service.
Okay, children, time to come up. Faith, where are you? Faith, are you going to come and collect the money, or are we going to get somebody else to do it? I hope you can hear me in there, Faith. We love you, and this story's for you. I can't say this story is for little teeny tiny tots, but Faith, I understand that you can hear me, and this one's for you. We are going to talk about initials. Do you know what FBI stands for? Anybody? Okay. Yes, Federal Bureau of Investigation, that's true. How about CDC? Yes. Center for Disease Control. How about DSS? Department of Social Services, that's right. How about DHHS? Yes, Department of Health and Human Services. How about SSI? Insurance. Let's see, who's that for? For disabled people, right? How about SSA? Social Security Administration, that's true. And they're for people like me who claim money that I put into when I work for Social Security so I can have something to live on. Okay, the best of all for last. What does WWJD stand for? That's correct. So let's say we're children and Mommy asks us to clean our bedroom. What would Jesus do? He would clean our bedroom, or he would clean his bedroom if his mama asked him. What if his mama asked him to go open the door for a guest that's coming? Do you think Jesus would go open that door for that guest and let him in? So one thing in everything that we can do, we can ask, what would Jesus do? And when we remember that, we can do good things. We can do things moms and dads ask us. We can do things that friends ask us, as long as they're according to God's will, huh? Because we might have some friends that might ask us to do things that are not good, and we don't want to do that. So I hope everybody remembers to remember, what would Jesus do in all that we do? Thank you.
Shall all rise and let us sing our opening song, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars, and their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, I am hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Has God been faithful to you this week? You may be seated. Amen. You can count those blessings, and they are multiplied over and over again. If you have any specific needs, we're going to ask that you bring those to the prayer room. But any unspoken praises or prayer requests you just want to lift up before the Lord this morning, amen. Thank you. We are going to sing Into My Heart, and then Nikki will lead us in prayer. So I'm going to invite you to kneel as far as possible.
Into my heart, into my heart. today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, all of us carrying thoughts and prayers in our hearts. And we also reach out to those who would normally be here, but maybe they're down south getting ready for camp, or for some other reason they're not able to join us today. So we lift these ones up in love as we thank You so much for Your grace, Your peace, Your blessings. All good things come from You, Lord. And we thank You so much for giving us life, love, salvation, worship together, all of the things that nurture us and help us to spread Your word out into the world so that our family can grow and grow and grow. In Your precious name, O Lord, I give thanks. Amen.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline an ear to us and grant us Thy peace.
Good morning and happy Sabbath, everybody.
Good morning.
Would you please rise while we read from the Word of God? Today our scripture reading will be Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Good morning again. Does everybody hear me okay? Is this okay? This mic has seemed like it was having trouble a couple weeks ago. It was okay? Yeah. Amen. Most of you were in Sabbath school, but there was a great piece that from Adventist Frontier Mission that I was going to share again, but since most of you were there, I'm not going to do that, but it was impressive because there was this, it starts out with, for those of you that weren't there, it starts out with this appeal to the GYC, the Generation of Youth for Christ audience. It was one of the first ones done 21 years ago. David Asherick is making this appeal for missions and missionaries. And he made a powerful appeal. His appeal was something like, you know, it's good that we're at home and we're in our lazy boy or in our SUV or different things, and we'll cheer on Mark Finley and Amazing Facts and things like that. And so the appeal was for personal missionaries. And so 200 young people came forward in response to that call. And what Adventist Frontier Mission did was they counted all those people that went forward, how many actually went to an unreached county, an unreached area. In Adventist Frontier Mission, that's their thing, right? The 1040 window in unreached areas and unreached people group. And out of the 200 went forward, there was one. But then they went on and gave the testimony of the power of one and the wonderful work that they were doing. It was quite touching that, and the impact they made in an area of Cambodia with an unreached people group, and they actually showed the picture of the first baptized member of that unreached people group, and now there's a work moving forward there in that area of Cambodia, and the reminder was this, is that it only takes one. You know, we are told that the gospel went to the then known world back in the times of the disciples, right? And that started with how many? Well, yeah, it started with one. Who was the one? Yeah, it started with Jesus, and then those that tarried in Jerusalem, and then it, you know, and then it grew from there. But it only took one, and each of us have the opportunity to be that one. Our topic this morning is faith for all. This comes from an overall series, Christ, Our Righteousness, all of Him for all of us. And so we're going to make this our look at the faith for all this morning. Let's bow our heads one more time as we start. Father in heaven, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the promises in it. And that promise is Jesus. Throughout beginning to end, the thread, the projection to the people, the prophecies, everything pointing to Christ and the redemption work that he would set right that which was set wrong on this planet so long ago. And Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the faithful promises when Joshua went into the promised land and recounted with the people. He said, not one of your promises was unfulfilled. Father, you are faithful, and we thank you for that. And we ask that you would guide us now and direct our thoughts, that your spirit would be here as we consider your word this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Sola fide. These are from the solas of the Reformation, right? So, do you guys remember what these are? Sola scriptura, right? Sola gratia. So by scripture, by the word of God alone, by grace alone. Soli de Christe, by Christ alone. There's one about de gloria, about the glory of God alone. But sola fide is by faith alone. And how many of you believe that's true? By faith alone. In order for us to be by faith alone, though, we better have a really good definition of faith, ought we not? Doesn't mean we had to add to it, but we had to have a good definition of faith. So with that, let me hear from you. What is a good definition of faith, or better yet, a Bible definition of faith? What are your thoughts? Yes, Brian?
Assurance.
Faith is assurance. Well, what is faith, though? Is it its assurance? Tell me more.
Our future existence. Our effect on this world.
Okay. Anything else? Any other thoughts? Nikki? Okay. Confidence. Along with that.
Trust in what we can't see.
What's that?
Trust in what we can't see.
Trust in what you can't see. Yes, Paula. Uh-huh. Deeper love for God.
It gives hope.
Okay, faith gives hope.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's a story that illustrates that, right? In the New Testament. We'll come to that. Knowing without seeing. Okay. Any other thoughts? So the story that I'm thinking of, I mean, that's the centurion, right? The centurion's servant is sick, and he asks Jesus, he comes to Jesus to say, will you heal him? And Jesus, willing to get up and go and follow him, right? Which is a big deal to go into this Gentile's house to heal his servant. It's a big deal. And Jesus is going to do this. And the centurion says what? He says, no, no, no. No, he didn't say that. He said, just say the word. When I say come, and my soldiers come and go, and I know all you have to do is say the word. And Jesus got up and he basically said, there has not been such great faith in all of Israel. Faith in the word of God, that the word of God will do exactly what it says it will do, right? Amen. So great definitions of faith. So I want to look at a couple passages in Scripture, so Romans 10:17. And this is the one about the word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this gives us some definition and root to faith. I thought of there's another story in the Bible where Jesus makes a remark about great faith. Do you remember what that was? As a matter of fact, he said of this woman, "Your story, wherever the gospel is preached, your story will always be told." Yeah, so Mary, when she washed Jesus' feet there at Simon's feast with her tears and her hair and anointed him and broke that alabaster flask representative of his great value, but for her was probably a year's wages or more. And she gave basically all that she had in her savings account for that, and she gave everything, and he used that as a demonstration of a great faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And here's another verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So this is kind of things, believing in things that you don't see, right? Evidence of things not seen. Now does this seem kind of strange to you? Faith is substance, right? So substance is something that you can hold and touch. Evidence, those are things that you actually see, right? So these things that you can't see, this substance, that's faith. Now, I think of faith, I don't know about you, but faith is something that kind of takes place up here. It's a decision. It's a choice. So how is it there in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 1, this is your hint, how is faith the substance? What happens in Hebrews chapter 11? Yeah, it's the faith chapter. It unfolds. By faith, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah, who preached for how long, Bob? 120 years, so I don't say 200. So 120 years he preached and built this ark when there had never been a rainstorm, and by the base putting their full faith, his whole life work was based on what God had said and told him. Amen? So in that sense, faith is substance. So that's in one sense. Faith is substance. It's reality. It's worked out in the lives of each of these witnesses through all of the faith chapters. And then it comes through the faith chapter and all of these witnesses, and it comes to 12 verse 2. So just here at the conclusion of the faith chapter, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, depending on what you think, says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of, now your version, some versions will say, our faith. The word "our," though, is actually supplied. He's the author and finisher of faith. Author and finisher. And notice what is integral to defining the faith that Jesus authored. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There was no cost. It was great joy. I mean, not to say, was this a great endurance? Was there much that Jesus, he was thrown at him, every temptation that could possibly be tempted? And the final one was not as the movie portrayed. It was, take yourself down and save yourself. If you're the Son of God, take yourself down. And that was it. And no, he would not though we're told that he couldn't even see through the portals of the tomb. Yes, he had faith. He had the promises of God. He put his full faith in wait, but his feeling, his hope that he felt in his heart, Psalms 22, just read Psalms 22, and that is Jesus' heart and mind on the cross of Calvary. And that was the faith. The foundational element is that he would put himself last, and he would put you first, and he would put his full faith and trust in the promises of his Father and the Word of God. Amen? So that's the faith of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because we think in terms of faith. We think in terms of, I don't know, how many of you have ever said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief? Yeah, have you said that? How many of you have said that? Lord, I have faith, but I need more faith. How many of you this morning need more faith? How many would like more faith? Well, the good news is there is much more faith that you have. And I want you to, we're going to look at that this morning. So here in is this statement written from the pen of inspiration. And she writes this. The third angel's message is the proclamation of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know, here are they. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. She goes on to say, the commandments of God have been proclaimed. Are Adventists really good at proclaiming the commandments of God? Defending them. The perpetuity of the law. As they should be. Right? But, she goes on to say, the faith of Christ, Jesus Christ, has not been proclaimed by Seventh-day Adventists as of equal importance. The law and the gospel go hand in hand. And she says, I cannot find language to express this subject in its fullness. Now, she wrote this in a letter in 1888. So was the church in great need of a revitalization, a refocus on Christ and the gospel? Yes, it was. And so she goes on in the next paragraph and actually explains it. She finds language too, but then she explains it. But the point is this, that the faith of Christ has not been proclaimed as it should. And so this comes from the verse that we talked about. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now some versions, now I don't know what your version says. Some versions will say, and keep the commandments of God and have faith and the faith in Jesus, or and faith in Jesus. And so there's some versions where that's said. And if you think about it, let me just ask you, do you think there's difference between faith in Jesus and the faith of Jesus? Yeah, I mean, like miles difference. I mean, like not even close. I mean, is it true that believers in Jesus have faith in Jesus? Yeah, so this is not what the point of our study isn't to say that we don't have faith in Jesus. Of course we have faith in Christ. But it is to draw our attention to what the Bible is talking about when it says the faith of Jesus. Now, there are some verses in Scripture where this comes out. I'm going to just point these out for your study to look at and to look carefully. I'm going to point out some of these things where it talks about, in some versions will have faith in Jesus and other versions will have faith of Jesus. And it makes a difference how you read it and what the verse really means. For instance, in Revelation 14, verse 12, here are they that keep the commandments of God and faith of Jesus. That's a big difference from faith in Jesus, right? Yeah, it is. So Galatians 2, verse 16 is another example, and that is this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, so Paul speaking to the Galatians over this trouble that they're having there, but by the faith. So they are justified by the faith. And the King James Version will say, of Jesus. And the New King James or some of the other versions will say, faith in Jesus. Well, am I justified by the faith of Jesus? Or am I justified by the faith in Jesus? Maybe both. But primarily, what is Paul saying? That's the question. So, and this is interesting because he goes on to say, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Right, Bob? So as I said, Bob was asking this question in Sabbath school, and he asked this question every time in Sabbath school where it comes up. So thank you for your consistency and your faithfulness. Okay, so this is the case. So it makes a difference how you read this if you're saying of or in. And what I've noticed in the original language, I'm not a Greek scholar. You guys can go and talk to Greek scholars or you can do it. But what's different is the original language here will say faith, pistis, Jesus, Christos. And that's all it says. Pistos, Jesus, Christos means faith, Jesus Christ. And it leaves it open to the context in what you're saying because there is no of and there is no in there. But in the next part where it says believe in Jesus Christ, it will say, it uses the word before Jesus Christus, it says eis, which means in. So there's it specifically said. And so that's why your King James Version, the translators, who I'm guessing know Greek pretty good when they're translating these things, said the faith of Jesus Christ, and they made a distinction, even we having believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Did Jesus have faith?
Yes.
He walked his entire life by faith in his Father, and he did so perfectly. Correct? Mm-hmm. And it was his faith. And this was the point that the translators were getting at when they tried to say this. Here's another verse, and this comes a little more clear in the same passage there in Galatians. And I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, but Christ lives in me. Who's living in me? And the life which I now live in the... This isn't talking about eternity by and by, sometime by and by. This is talking about right here and now, right? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. What does your version say? By the faith of the Son of God. So here's one of those examples where it doesn't have that little word is. Ace before that, where it says actually faith, Son of God. So the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let me ask you, would you rather put your faith in the Son of God, or would you rather live by the faith of the Son of God? He says in, and he says of. So that's the whole point. If Christ is living in me, who is living out their faith? And that's the whole point. And so it makes a difference how you read it. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, hey, look, no, it's not I who live. It's not even my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you trust that faith? Okay. So this is the point. And then it makes me think of this verse in Romans chapter 12 when Paul writes this. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to how many?
All.
Every man the measure of faith. Now, some versions will say a measure of faith, and some we'll say the measure of faith. Does the article make a difference? It kind of does. Maybe, maybe it not. Maybe it could be both. But there's, you know, when I read this passage, I think, oh, God's given me a teaspoon of faith to start with. And if I just grow that faith, I could be a real strong Christian one day. You get that? Or has God dealt to every man the measure of faith? And if you were to say, so, and that word measure has implied to it, like, what is the atomic clock? It is the measure of time for which all other measures go back to look at. And they have these for kilograms and special vaults and for different measures. So if you were to think, okay, a measure of faith, oh, that's good. Thank you, God, you give me a measure of faith. What if God has given you the measure of faith? And what would the measure of faith be? Who would you look for to know who what the measure of faith is? The one who authored it, and the one who finished it, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega of faith. Okay, now just think about it. If God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, the faith of Jesus, what's the problem? Why isn't everyone believers? Ooh! So we can say no to the gifts that God has given. But we can know this, that of the gift that God has given, He's held nothing back. There's nothing held back. He's given it all. And I can tell you, Bob, with the faith of Jesus, we can be saved by faith alone. Because every single good work, the works that Jesus did, will be worked out in our life. There's no fear in by faith alone when we understand what that faith is. Whose that faith is. Now, I'm just going to, I can't put this into better words, and so I'm just going to read, and you can follow along. And this is from someone who knew something about righteousness by faith, written back in the 1890s, and his name was Ellett J. Wagner, and he said this: "There is therefore, speaking of the faith of Jesus, no opportunity for anyone to plead that his faith is weak. He may not have accepted and made use of the gift, but there is no such thing as weak faith." Now you might be thinking, well, there in Romans it says those who are weak in the faith. But you know, when you go into Romans, because we studied this a number of weeks back, that word weak, I said, means impotent and sick. Which is really no faith at all, really. It's in need of the real article. So let's go on and just see what he says. So there is no such thing as weak faith. A man may be weak in faith, quote unquote, and that is, he may be afraid to depend on faith. But faith is as strong as the capital W Word of God, which is Christ. There is no faith but the faith of Christ. Everything else professing to be faith is a spurious article. He goes on to write, "Here is comfort. Whoever will accept the faith of Jesus, utilize what he's been given, right? Has that which is as sure as work to work righteousness in him and to save him as the victory of Christ over sin and death is assured." Did the victory of Christ assure victory over sin? Was Christ's victory assured over sin and death? We saw it in his life. He gives to us his own tried and approved faith. You've heard the expression tried and. Would you like that faith today? He's given that measure to you. It has not a flaw and we need not fear to use it. It will not fail us in any contest. And then this was from our Sabbath school lesson. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Oh, when I've read this verse before, I've always said, what is the gift of God here? Which one is it talking about? Is it salvation? Well, sure. Is it grace? Is that the gift? I think Paul is speaking to the heart of the gift, and that is the faith. That is the gift of God. By grace are ye saved through faith. So it is not even your faith. We're counseled in that little book, Faith and Works, says some make faith out to be like put merit to faith. We can be tempted to put merit to our own faith. And I had great faith, and you sat in our streets and you talked with us and all of this. But there's no merit in faith. The faith that we get is a gift from Him. And that's how we're saved. We are saved by nothing less than God's unchangeable word and by Christ's own personal confidence in that word. Our confidence fails. Have you ever experienced that? We are not exhorted to try to do as well as He did or try to exercise as much faith as He had, but simply to take His faith. And here's my favorite word. And let it work by love and purify the heart. Amen. All right, so I'm going to share one last thing, and we're almost done. This guys, we're on time. This is like not usual for me. And I'm going to read one more thing, and this is from someone else who knew something about righteousness by faith, and this was written by A.T. Jones on this same subject of the faith of Jesus, and he writes this. Speaking of Jesus, laden with the sins of the world, tempted in all points like as we are, he hoped in God and trusted in God to save him. Did Jesus trust in God to save him? From all those sins and to keep him from sinning. Doesn't the Bible say, he who knew no sin became sin for us? This is the faith of Jesus. This is the point where the faith of Jesus reached lost, sinful man to help him. Do you need help today? For there is no man or woman in the whole wide world for whom there is no hope in God. No one so lost that he cannot be saved by trusting God in this faith of Jesus. And this faith of Jesus, by which in the place of the lost, he hoped in God and trusted in God for salvation from sin and the power to keep from sinning, this victory of his he brought to every man in the world divine faith. Would you like divine faith today? That's the faith of Jesus. Divine faith by which every man can hope in God and trust in God and can find the power of God to deliver him from sin and to keep him from sinning. That faith which he exercised and by which he obtained the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, that faith is his free gift to every lost man in the world. And thus, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is the faith of Jesus that's given to every man. This is the faith of Jesus that must be received by men in order for them to be saved. And this is the faith of Jesus which now, in this time of the third angel, must be received and kept by those who will be saved from the worship of the beast and his image and enabled to keep the commandments of God. Do you see where it works in there, Bob? All right. This is the faith that Jesus referred to the closing work of the third angel's message. Here are they that keep, cherish, protect, don't let go of the commandments, God, and keep and cherish and protect the faith of Jesus, which has been given to every man. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Now when we say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, that's because we are speaking from our faith. We are speaking the reality of the limits of our human heart within our own strength and ability. Does that make sense? And we feel that sometime. And we see ourselves. And we see ourselves slipping. And we feel that. And when we say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, what is Jesus' answer to your prayer? I have given you, my child, my faith to make up for. Not my faith instead of you, although that is true, but my faith in you, and that is true. Both of those things are true. Sometimes in some theological frameworks, it's his faith instead of us. That's not what we're talking about. That isn't the things that we've read about. That wasn't our discussion today. Our discussion is his faith in you. For that is the finishing of the mystery, isn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now can we say with full confidence, sola fide, by faith alone, by the faith of Jesus alone, what he has accomplished 2,000 years ago on behalf of all humanity, and what he is accomplishing and still can accomplish today because we have an alive and risen Savior who wants to work out in each life and each heart today. Is that your desire today? Yeah, that's my desire too. Let's pray, and then we are going to sing our closing song, and then I have our benediction. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift that you've worked out for us in Christ. And Father, as we see you and we see all that you've given and we see the love that all heaven has and the value that you put on each one of us individually, and see that if you've given Christ, how would you not give us all things and everything we need? Father, your goodness leads us to repentance. Father, you have given us the measure of faith. Oh, Father, may we believe all that you have said is true of us. May we take hold of it, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Shall all rise for our closing song?
Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Encamped along the hills of light, in Christian swords rise, and press the battle in, and they shall bear the glowing skies. Against the foe in bales below, let all our strength be hurled.
Faith is the victory. Peace you left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all good about. The earth shall tremble beneath thy tread, and echo with thy shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, my raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in hand. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. You may be seated. Do you believe that? There is one faith that will overcome the world. It already has, and we can have full confidence because he has given that to us. Shall we exercise that? Shall we take hold of it? Shall we cherish and keep it? That's my desire. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for all that you've given us in Christ. Yes, Father, we see all that you've done and our hearts are drawn out to you. We believe you to be true. In our own human hearts, we have faith, Father. We believe. Father, may we not trust in our own faith, but may we receive that full measure of faith. May we utilize that which has already been given to us, Father, and that is the faith of Jesus. Father, we truly know within our hearts we need you. Live out your life within us, Father, is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.